Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Eruvin Daf Nun Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 8 lines from the top of Daf Nun Dalet. You'll notice a double underline, one of our series markings. To the side of the Gemara in the margin, we have a mivneh, that's a structural note, where we note with the double underline is featured, Shnei Eitzos Shishmuel Noisein Rav Yehuda. We'll see two pieces of advice that Shmuel communicates to his student, Rav Yehuda. We should point out that we're continuing with this second daf of Agodah that we started on Daf Nun Gimel, that focuses primarily on the study of Torah. So our Gemara, Amale Shmuel Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Shinana is an expression meaning sharp one or wise one. Psach Pumech Kori, Psach Pumech Toni. Open your mouth and study. Kori is the written Torah, the Torah Shebiksav, and Toni has to do with Torah Shebal Peh. And the idea here is to speak, to verbalize, to vocalize, if you will, your Torah learning. Kihechi t'tiskayim biyodech, the Torah chai, so that t'tiskayim biyodech is an expression that we'll see quite often, or Talmudo t'tiskayim biyodo, that you shall maintain it, you shall remember your Torah learning. And in this case, there's also Torah chai means length of life, long life. And this is accomplished by verbalizing your Torah learning. Shenemar, ki chaim heim lemotzeim ulechol besoro marpe. That's the pasuk. However, the Gemara comments, al tikri lemotzeim. Don't read the word as motzeim, which means one who finds something, elemotzeim befeh, but rather one who vocalizes that which he learns. So that if one vocalizes that which he learns, so the pasuk says he will also have good health. Omar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda, Shinana. Now here we have a new marking, this bow tie shape, and on the side of the Gemara under our Noseh heading, we've noted Im Yesh L'Chomomo Tene Mimenu. The Chazal are saying something that on the surface appears to be a suggestion that if you have money, benefit, enjoy it. There might very well be a deeper level of understanding, but as far as Rashi is concerned and our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shiur, we're going to present it on the, we'll call it the superficial level, and it's very interesting. The marking, this bow tie shape under our Mivneh heading, we note Shnei Memros Shem Oydidim Hanhogazu. There are two Memros that encourage this idea that if you have money, enjoy it. Spend it, buy things that will provide you with pleasure. So Shmuel says to Rav Yehuda, Shinana, Chatof v'cho, Chatof v'ishti. Chatof literally means grab. Grab, take now. Rashi at the top says, Chatof v'cho, im yesh l'cho momon l'enos atzmucho, al tamtin ad l'mochor. If you have money to enjoy, so don't wait till tomorrow. Shemot tomus v'shuv ein l'cho hanoa. Person never knows how long he may live. He might die the next day, and he won't have any hanah from the money. So Shmuel says, if you to Rav Yehuda, enjoy the alma. The Gemara continues, the alma dazlinon minei ki lula domi. The world that we are living in and are departing from, meaning this world that eventually we depart from, is parallel to a hilula, is like a wedding. And Rashi says, hayom yeshno lemocher einenu. Today it's here, tomorrow it's gone. Similar to a wedding ceremony that goes by very quickly. One can elaborate on this and suggest that the is similar to how much effort people put into preparing a wedding, and many of you are quite familiar with that. A lot of effort, time, and money and expenses are put into something that really is rather fleeting. And Chazal are telling us that this whole Olam Hazeh experience is very fleeting, so that if you have the wherewithal to benefit, to have pleasure from, go right ahead and do so. Let's continue in the Gemara. Omar le Rav, the Rav Hanuna. Again, a second expression along these lines. Bini im yesh lecha, heitev lecha. If you have it, means, Rashi says, mamon, if you have money, so heitev lecha means benefit from it. She'ein b'sho'ol tanu, because in the grave, sho'ol is the grave, there is no pleasure. V'ein lamovis hismamea, and death does not tarry. It could come upon a person very suddenly. V'im toimar niach livni chok, you might say, well, why should I benefit from my money? Let me leave aside the money for my children. Chok is mozon, Rashi says, for sustaining my children. So, to that, the response is, b'sho'il mi yagid l'cha. In the grave, who is going to tell you? Rashi says, mi yagid l'cha im nishar b'yodam shema yabdu. In other words, leaving it for your children isn't necessarily a good idea per se, because they might squander it or might lose it. So no one will have benefited from your money. B'nei ha'adam, the Gemara goes on to say, domim li'isvei ha'sodeh. People are like grass of the field. Halolu notzitzim v'halolu novlim. Now here Rashi points out, halolu notzitzim, as far as the issue of what about leaving your money for your children, so to that we say, don't worry about them. Halolu notzitzim klomar k'shem gedelim delu parnosasam v'oshonimoyim. As they get older, as they grow, so their parnosa and their wealth will grow with them. V'ein chotzorch lidoig aleihem. You, as a parent, don't have to worry about that. In other words, this idea of setting aside money for one's children, because otherwise they won't manage, that is not something that one really has to concern himself with. Of course, one has to strike a certain type of reasonable balance in life. There's a concept, of course, of doing chesed, doing a good turn, helping children out, etc. and so forth. But you can see that the Chazal aren't placing extraordinary emphasis on that approach, but rather, if you have the means to enjoy it, go right ahead. There's nothing wrong in Yiddishkeit with enjoying that which you have. Of course, Yiddishkeit, Judaism, Torah philosophy does not say that one should make it a focal point of his life to pursue the acquisition of wealth and what have you, and physical pleasures. But if one has the means of enjoying himself, nothing wrong with that. The expression we just read was halolu notzitzim. We saw in Rashi that meant that they will, as one grows, their parnosa grows with them. And halolu novlim is an expression of, Rashi says, mason, die, the people that are older, at the age, eventually they die, and that's it. That's it as far as, of course, their money is concerned. Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Hamahalich baderech ve'ein imo levia. One who is walking alone on the road. Levia means accompaniment. No one is accompanying him. And we know from the Gemara in Masechah Sota, for example, that it's very important that someone is accompanied on the road. In fact, the whole parsha of Eglo Arufa has to do with someone who was left alone to travel by himself. Again, we're not going to get off the topic too much, but there is a concern that there should be levoya, which means someone accompanying you. So let's say a person finds himself alone, yasuk b'Torah. So he should engage in Torah study. Shinemar ki livyos chein heim. All right, this is a pasuk from Mishlei, which is a reference to Torah study. So it says that the Torah study is a pleasant accompaniment. Chosh Barosho, you'll notice we have a series marking, a series of diamonds, and they all highlight the expression Chosh. Chosh, the Marsho explains that if a person feels that he might have some illness coming on. In other words, he's not in the midst of already being sick, because there is another topic that says that one is not allowed to be misrapa b'divrei Torah. And there are some additional details to that topic. You can look in the Marsha for further explanation on the issue. But his approach is chosh means someone who anticipates feeling ill. So chosh b'rosho yasek b'Torah. If a person feels he might get sick, might develop a headache, so he should study Torah. Shnemar ki liv yischein heim l'roshecha. They are pleasant for your head. Chosh begroni asik b'Torah. Likewise, if one feels something coming on in his goron, his throat, he should study Torah. Shneamar, the pasuk says, "Vanokim legagroi secha," and the gagroi secha has to do with one's throat. So it's like an anak is a necklace, a decoration, but it's something positive for one's throat. Chosh b'meov yasik b'Torah. Likewise, meov has to do with one's digestion or one's stomach. So if one feels something coming on, he should study Torah. Shinemar, this is a pasuk from Mishlei Perek Gimel, pasuk Ches, Rifus Tehi Lisharecha. The term Lisharecha is a reference to that part of the human anatomy. Chosh b'atzmoisav yasek b'Torah. A person feels something in his bones, he should study Torah. Shinemar, v'shikui l'atzmoisecha. It's a type of potion for one's bones. Chosh b'chol gufo yasek b'Torah. Any part of one's body that one feels something coming on, he should study Torah. Shnemar ulechol besoro marpe. And we saw this pasuk quoted before from Mishlei Perek Dalid, pasuk Chof Beis. Omar Rav Yehuda Berei Barchia Bo Re Shelo Kamidas Gosh Baruch Hu Midas Basar Vadam. Come and notice that the attributes of the Almighty are not like those of man. Midas Basar Vadam, Odom no saying Sam Lechavero, Loze Yofev, Loze Kosheh. When it comes to a medical prescription, that's a sam, is a medicine, so the medicine can be beneficial to some and injurious to others. Aval Kodesh Baruch Hu Eino Kein. But with regard to the Almighty's medicines, it is not so. Nosan Torah Israel. Kodesh Baruch Hu presented Torah to the nation of Israel. Sam Chaim L'chol Gufo. It's an elixir of life for all of one's body. Shenemar U'lechol Besoro Marpe. As we just saw before. Omar Rabbi Ami, Mai Dichtiv, Kinoim Kisishmerim Bevit Necho, Yechonun Yachtav Al Sfosecha. So this is a Pasuk, and the Gemara will break it down. Amosai Divrei Torah Noim, when is it so that the Torah study is pleasant, the words of Torah are pleasant? The Pasuk began by saying, Ki Noim, when is it Noim, when is it pleasant? Bizman Shetishmerim Bevit Necho. As the Pasuk says, when you keep it in your innards. Ve'emosai tishmerim bevitnecha. And when is one capable of keeping it within him, that he preserves his Torah learning? Bizman shiachonu yachtav al sfasecha. As the Pasuk itself went on to say, when one articulates, one verbalizes his Torah learning. This would seem to complement that which we saw at the beginning of today's shiur, the idea of verbalizing, of articulating your Torah study. Rabbi Zera Omar Mehocha. Rabbi Zera proves this or gives a basis to this idea of when does one have pleasantry from Torah. So he says from here you see this idea. Simcha leish b'man epiv v'dover bitoy matoiv. And now the Gemara breaks it down. Amosai simcha leish. When does a person have simcha? When does a person have joy? Bizman shemane b'fiv. When he is capable of answering. In other words, if a person who has studied Torah and as a result of that is able to provide answers to questions that he is asked, so that provides a sense of pleasure to the person. Lishno achrina, another approach. Amosai simcha leish b'man epiv. When does a person have pleasure from his answers? Bizman shedover b'itoy matoiv. That, Rashi explains, is when a person answers things that are relevant to a particular time. There's a Rashi says, Amosai simcha b'chule bizman shiyadeh lidrosh hilchus chag b'chag. When a person knows how to give answers to things that are time related, like holiday questions, and he is able to answer them. This idea is repeated. Rabbi Yitzchok Omar Mehocha, Ki korov elecho adover moi beficho uvavcho lasoso. And the Gemara breaks this down. Emosai korov elecho. When is Torah considered near to you? Bizman shebeficho uvavcho lasoso. When you have it in your mouth and in your heart to fulfill it. Rava Omar Mehocha. And here we have still another illustration of this idea of having simcha from his Torah learning. Tavas libo nasata lo vareshes swasa ban monata sela. And we break it down. Amosai tavas libo nasata lo. When is one granted the desires of his heart? Bizman shareshes swasa ban monata sela. Areshes swasa has to do with one's speech. When one articulates his Torah learning, so there is no baal monata, there is no withholding of pleasures. Rava Rami. Rava raises a seeming contradiction. Ksiv tavas libo nasata lo. Tavas libo is the desires of one's heart. Means when it's still in your heart. You haven't even requested something. You just have an internal desire. You are granted your internal request. That's one pasuk. Uksiv areshes svasa bamonata sela. The other pasuk says that he's granted his desires only after areshes svasa, only after he has articulated it, after he's strained himself in prayer for that. So, how do we resolve these two psukim? So the Gemara answers, Zocha tavas libo nasatalo, if he is meritorious. Rashi says, Im yeshlo mazal tov, if he has a good mazal. So then he is granted his requests even before he requests it. And lo zocha, if he doesn't have that merit or didn't merit this mazal tov, nevertheless, vareshes svasa b'amotasela, through straining oneself in prayer, so one can also gain those benefits. Tana debay Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov. We have a Tanaic source from the yeshiva of Rabbi Elozer ben Yankov. Kol mokom shenemar netzach sela voed. Whenever you see one of these three words, and we had one of these words just the line ago, where it said b'amonata sela. What do these words netzach sela and voed indicate? Ein loy hefsek oilomis. It's something that is of a permanent, continuous, permanent, everlasting nature. And in the source, each word is given is proven to mean thusly. Netzach dechtiv ki lo lolam oriv lo lenetzach ektsof. So in this pasuk, you see it says that lo olam, not forever there will be strife, and the lo lo netzach, again an expression of eternity, not for eternity will there be, exof means wrath, but the word itself netzach has to do with eternity. Sela dichtiv kasher shamanu kein roinu b'ir Hashem alotzvokis b'ir elokeinu elokim yechonenu ad oilom sela. So the word sela in this context, ad olam means forever, sela meaning permanent. Voed, the final word, Dichtiv Hashem Yimloch Leolam Voed. The Almighty will rule forever, eternity, without any stopping. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new structural note, a Mivneh. You see the triangle is highlighted. These are Sidra Shel Arba Memros de Rabbi Elozer Binyan Torah. We'll see here four Memros of Rabbi Elozer in the context of Torah study. And another marking will be used as the Gemara unfolds, and it's this bow tie shape. Im odom meisim atzmo, etc. Tamudo miskayim. We'll have different expressions of how a person conducts himself. Depending on how he conducts himself, he will be successful in recalling or maintaining, remembering his Torah learning. So we now begin the series of Memros. Omer Rabbi Elozer, Mai Dichtiv Anokim L'Gagaroi Secha. We saw this pasuk quoted before in the context of someone who was Chosh Begrono, the second diamond in the narrow lines that we saw above. So here he's asking, what is the basis or the meaning, the drosha from this pasuk? So imesim odom atzmoi ka anak ze she ruf al hatzavo. If a person makes himself like an anok, is a type of necklace that one wears around one's neck. In other words, it's ruf means it's loose fitting. It's in this context, it's an indication of someone that is easy going, as opposed to something that's tight fitting. Something that's loose is said to be easy on the neck. Someone who is easy going in his personality, gets along with people, venira vienonira, and is visible and at times not visible. In other words, he's not in the he's not the center of attention. So Talmudo miskayem biyado. Oh, he will be successful in maintaining his Torah learning. This, so we're trying to cultivate this idea of being a pleasant member of the community, but not someone who is at the center of attention. So that's a segula, that's a means of being successful in maintaining and recalling one's Torah, being lav. However, if a person is not like that, ein tamudo miskayem biyado, so he will not be successful in maintaining his Torah. As Torah knowledge, v'yomer Rabbi Yalozer, my dichtiv l'chayov ke arugas habosem. Im meisim odom atzmoi ke aruga zu. If a person makes himself like an aruga is a row of plants, a plowed row of plants, shehakol doshin ba the row of plants, we'll say a field, is something that people trample over. So that a person allows himself to be trampled upon. Now, not in the negative sense that he allows himself to be taken advantage of, but it's an expression of humility. And that's what Rashi says at the top, Shein lo gasis uruch. He doesn't have haughtiness to him. So if a person makes himself like an aruga, which is a row of plants in a garden, so as a person, after a person harvests his row of plants, he tramples over the soil. So if he makes himself like that, that's shakol doshin ba ukeboisem ze shakol misbas min ba bosem arugas habosem. In the pasuk we saw a row of fragrant plants. Bosem is has to do with perfumes or pleasant colognes. So if someone makes himself like bosem, pleasantness, that shakol misbas min ba, Rashi explains that he teaches Torah to others, that others derive benefit from him. So tamudo miskayim. So he will be successful in maintaining his Torah. V'im lav, ein tamudo miskayim. He won't be successful in keeping his Torah. V'yomer Rabbi Elazar, may dichtiv luchos chei even. Im odom meisim atzmo es luchoyov ke even zu sheino nimches. If a person makes his luchoyim, luchoyayim are literally his cheeks, his mouth, like stone that doesn't dissolve. In other words, it has strength to it. That's a reference to a Talmud Chacham, a Torah scholar who doesn't get tired from reviewing and from teaching. So Talmud Miskay Biyado, if he makes himself like the Evan, like the stone, so he will be successful. V'im lav ein Talmud Miskay Biyado. Now, bear in mind, as you see these different analogies, when it says, make yourself like a stone, but it's a certain aspect of the stone that we're emphasizing, not like a stone heart, for example. That would be something quite negative. But a stone in the sense of something that has longevity, that doesn't wear out, that doesn't dissolve, that is something positive. V'omar Rav Elazar, may dichtiv horusal haluchos. This is a pasuk in the context of the first set of Ten Commandments that Moshe Rabbeinu received, that prior to the sin of the golden calf. The pasuk says chorus ala luchos. Literally, the pasuk means it's something that's been etched out on the stone tablets. Il mole lo nishtabu luchos rishonos. If it were that the first tablets would not have been broken, lo nishtakho Torah Israel, the Torah learning would not have been forgotten. People would not have forgotten their Torah learning. The Rashi explains that the word chorus has to do with something that's etched out. Something that's etched out in stone is, even in English we have the expression etched in stone, meaning something that is not never gets erased. So that's what would have been had the first Luchos not been smashed. Ravacho Bar Yaakov Omar, Ein Kol Umo V'Loshen Sholetes Bohen, had the first tablets not been smashed, so no nation would have been able to rule over the Jewish people. Shenemar, Chorus, Al Tikri, Chorus Elo Chirus. Chirus has to do with freedom. Freedom from some type of foreign control. Omar Rav Matana, Mai Dichtiv Umi Midbor Matana. The Gemara is darshaning a pasuk that in a literal sense has to do with the different stations that the Jews traveled to during their journey in the desert, during the exodus from Egypt. So the pasuk is darshan, though, in the context of Torah learning. So what is men umi midbor matano? Imesim odom atzmo kemidbor zeh. If a person makes himself like this desert, shakol doshin bo, that everyone tramples over it. As we saw this expression before, which is, it means that this is a call to humility. If a person makes himself humble, then tamudu miskayim biyado. Someone is humble like the desert, which is something people walk over, and the desert continues to be the desert. So too, if a person who is a Torah scholar and practices humility, so he will maintain his Torah learning. Otherwise, he won't be successful. Rav Braid Rav Yosef Bar Chamo, this is the famous Rava of the Shas. So Rava Havalei Milso L'Rav Yosef Badei. There was some incident that caused Rav Yosef to be angered. Angry with Rava. In other words, he had some type of ill will between the two, and Rav Yosef, who was older, he was a teacher of Rava and Abaye. So Rav Yosef had this feeling of kas, of anger toward Rava, based on some incident. He motamale yom de kippuri Omar, when Erev Yom Kippur approached, so Rava said, "Ezel v'faisi, I'm going to go and appease Rav Yosef." Also, Ashkei l'shame, the komozig le'kosa. Rava went and found the shame, means the servant of Rav Yosef, preparing a cup of wine. And often in the Shas, when we see a reference of preparing a cup of wine, this has to do with diluting the wine. The wine in the Zman of the Gemara was a very concentrated type liquid that needed to be diluted to make it drinkable. So he, that is Rava, came and saw the shamish, the servant of Rav Yosef, preparing a cup of wine. Omar lay, so Rava said, "Hav li v'imziga ana, give it to me. Let me prepare." Imzig has to do with the mixing of water with the wine. Sometimes it also can mean pouring of wine. But Rava says, "Let me prepare the wine for Rav Yosef." Yohav lay, so the shamash gave the wine over to Rava Mazgei, and he prepared it by mixing it with water. Kiditame, when Rav Yosef tasted it, and it's important to note that Rav Yosef was blind, so he didn't see Rava actually there. As at this point, all that Rav Yosef is aware of is that he's waiting for a cup of wine. And once the wine was prepared, it was given to Rav Yosef. When Rav Yosef tasted it, Omar, he said, "Domi hai mezigo lemezigo de Rava braid Rav Yosef bachama." This wine preparation is like the preparation of Rava. Rava was known to hold that wine is mixed one part wine with three parts water. And it could very well be that others had a different idea about wine preparation, maybe two parts water to one part wine, but Rava's preparation is known throughout the Shas of one part wine and three parts water. So it was called a type of hallmark preparation. And Rav Yosef identified Rava by the taste of the wine. Amarle anohu. So Rava piped up and he said, "I am he." And it was after Rav Yosef said, "This tastes like Rava's wine preparation," Rava said, "Well, I am he." Amarle. So Rav Yosef said, "Lo tasev akaroch ad mafshes li hani kroi." Don't sit down until you explain to me the following psukim. Rav Yosef really has an agenda, as will become clear. So he says as follows. My dechtiv, this is a reference to the pasuk we saw just before from Sefer Bamidbar. And here we have all of the stations that the pasuk records are listed. And it says in the pasuk, Umi midbar matono, Umi matono nachliel, mi nachliel bomois, Umi bomos hagai. These are different stations that the Jews sojourned in while they were in the midbar. Amale, so Rava answers, Im odome sim asmo kimidbar zesha kol doshin boi. This is a reference to mi midbar matono. If a person makes himself like the desert that allows himself to be, that practices humility, people trample over him. Torah nitno loi b'matono. The Torah will be given to him as a gift. And that's the word matono in the pasuk. And we continue. V'kevon shenitno loi b'matono nochalo keil. And once a person receives the Torah as a gift, so he is said to inherit the Almighty. Shneamar, the pasuk said, Umi matona nachliel, from matona to nachliel, to nachal. Nachala is the idea of inheriting the Almighty. Inheriting, of course, meaning following in his ways. The kevan shenachalo keil, and once a person receives the teaching of the Almighty, he rises to greatness. Shneamar, Umi nachliel, bomois. Bomos is an expression having to do with heights. So he goes from Nachliel to the heights. V'megis libo, if a person then becomes haughty, though, Kodesh Baruch Hu mashpilo. Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, will see to it that he is diminished, is lowered. Shenemar umi bomos hagai. Gai is a valley, so it goes from the bomos, from the lofty places, to the low places. V'mchozer bo, if he retracts, in other words, he does penitence from his state of gaiva, of haughtiness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbio, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reinstate, will raise him up again. Shneamar kol gai inosei. The truth that this pasuk is not from the same it's not the same pasuk, it was just cited. This comes from a totally different sefer. It comes from Sefer Yeshaya, but since the word Gai was mentioned before, this pasuk indicates that from the Gai is a valley, you know, say will be lifted up. So this shows us that if a person does tshuva from his state of previous lowliness as a result of having been knocked down, so he will be restored. You know, say is to be lifted up. Omar Rav Huna, my dechtiv, chayoscho yoshvu bo tochim b'toivoscho leoniv elekim. Yemodo meisim atzmo, kechayazu, shedoreses v'ocheles. If a person makes himself like a chayaz, an undomesticated animal, in this case a carnivore, that is doreses v'ocheles. Rashi says, has a couple of pshatim on what doreses v'ocheles means, but the number one pshat in the Rashi, shedoreses v'ocheles, Rashi says, Miad laharigasa, as soon as the animal's prey is trapped, immediately after it's killed, he eats it. Sheinu makpid al tanugim, eloichel boser belo tavlin, chen shar inugim. If a person, like the animal, eats its meat without spices and other delicacies or dainties, so too a person, when it comes to his learning, he learns Torah without all kinds of dainties and extras. So then, as we'll see shortly, Talmudu Miskai Biodo, V'iko Diamri, another approach to this is Shemasrachas V'Ocheles. Instead of saying Shedoreses V'Ocheles, but Masrachas V'Ocheles. Rashi says regarding this in his first pshat is Masrachas Betit, it eats its food in mud. Hainu mi she'eno holechachar gavus locus macholo in lois bashikol sarchos. This is the food analogy would be to someone that isn't insistent on his food being totally cooked, all completely ready. There's another approach in Rashi to these analogies of doresis and masrachas. So Rashi in the number two, Roman numeral number two in the Rashi, you can see we have diamonds there. So he says, "Shedoresis v'chelas l'achar rigoso v'chelas miad." the wild animal, as soon as it kills its prey, it starts to eat it. So the analogy to the Torah student is, Kach Talmud Chochem Machazer al Talmud Miyad Kishemekablam Rabo. As soon as a person learns something from his teacher, something new from his teacher, he immediately reviews it. So often people ask about methods of review. How should one go about doing review? So certainly one of the reviews, the initial review, should be done immediately after hearing the lecture or the shiur from his rav. The Rashi goes on, Masrachas, Menabalats, Maldivri Torah, Loshon Zinir Biana, means a person conducts himself in a without any airs about him when it comes to Torah learning. There's a drosha in Maseches Nida and Maseches Brochas, Im Novalto Behisnase, Vim Zamosu Yad Lepeh, and there the Gemara has a calling to someone to make himself Nevela over Divrei Torah, meaning he learns Torah not caring about what people are going to say about him with regard to his questions or his points of analysis, and he says it even at the expense of being laughed upon, but he is interested in getting to the truth of Torah, someone like that. So Im Novalto Behisnase, as the Pasuk says, if he makes himself like that, he will rise to greatness. So we're seeing the same idea over here. Let's continue in the Gemara. So we had two lishonos, so in terms of making oneself like a chaya, like a wild animal, either shedoreses vocheles or masrachas vocheles. Talmudo miskayim biyado, the Gemara continues here, three lines from the bottom. He will maintain his Torah learning. V'im lav, ein talmudo miskayim biyado. V'im oisekein, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oiselo se'uda bi'atzmo. If a person makes himself like the animal when it comes to its eating, so he approaches his Torah learning the same way. As we saw, he studies without pampering himself, or he studies with immediate reviews, or he conducts himself in a humble fashion. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will prepare himself. He himself will prepare a meal for such a person. Shenemar, Tochin b'toivoscho le'oni elakim. The Rashi says le'oni leze shesom atzmo koni. To him, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will prepare this meal, tochin, he will prepare the meal for someone who makes himself like the oni, like impoverished. The study of Torah without pampering, etc. The other analogy that Rashi mentions to the word oni, just like an oni is always seeking out money, so too the Torah student is always seeking review of that which he learned. Omar Rav Chiyo bar Abba Omar Rav Yochanan. Mai dichtiv, notzer teino yochal piryav. So Rav Chiyo asks, what is the meaning of this pasuk in Mishlei? And here we have a new marking. You'll see on the side under our Mivne heading, Sidra, there's a series shell, Loma Nimshal Divrei Torah Le. And we'll see Torah compared to a teino, a fig tree, Le'ayolos. Le'ayolos, a type of animal in the called the deer family, and ledod. Dod, we'll see, has to do with a woman's breast in the context of suckling her young. So we have these analogies, and what do they mean? Loma nimshal Torah divrei Torah k'teino. Why is Torah compared to the fig? So we explain ma te'eno zu. We continue at the top of Amud Beis, just like the fig tree calls man shalom imashmesh bo moitz bo teinim. Whenever a person approaches a fig tree, he'll find figs on it. It's a type of tree that doesn't ripen all its fruit at one time. Rather, its fruit becomes ready at different times. So, just like the nature of the fig tree is, at all times you'll find some figs that are ready. After rhetoricals, man sheldom hoigibohen moitzibohem tam. Whenever a person studies Torah, and this I take to mean even going over that which you already learned. Whenever you engage in Torah, you will find something new. That's you'll find good taste in it. But as we suggested, this is a reference to going over that which you already learned. Because as far as study of new passages of Torah, of course you're going to find a new taste, so to speak, in that which is new. But even in the event that you're studying that which you already learned, every time you take a look at it, you'll find something new, a new aspect, or some twist, or some point of analysis that you hadn't noticed before. Omar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Mai Dichtiv, Ayelas Aovim Vialas Chein, the Pasuk goes on to say, Dadeha Yiravucha B'chol Eis Bavosa Tishge Tomid. The continuation of this Pasuk will be the focus of the Gemara as it continues. But for the time being, we continue with our next second house marking, Loma Nimshalu Divrei Torah L'Ayelas. Why is the Torah compared to that particular creature, the Ayelas, which, as we said, was an animal in the general family of deer? So, Lomar Loch, this tells us, Ma Ayola Rachmo Tsar Chaviva Aboyola Kol Shav V'Shav K'Shav Rishona. Just like in terms of the physiology of the Ayola, it has a very narrow Rachmo. Rachmo is a passage in which intimacy takes place. So it's a very narrow passage, and this creates a sense of pleasure, if you will, for the boala, the male that mates with it. So just like the ayola is a type of creature that it provides pleasure for the boel at all times, like the initial experience. After the Torah, chavivin al lomdeyan kol shal v'shal kishal rishona. So too, when one is the students of Torah learning, find Torah pleasurable at all times, like their initial exposure. This once again could be a reference to what we've said before: the issue of review. That when one learns something new, so the we call it the novelty factor, makes it such that people enjoy that which is new. But the nature of Torah is that even when you come to review that which you have already learned, you can have a sense of pleasure similar to the first experience of learning that. The Pasuk said, V'ala Schein, Shema La Schein Alomdeha. The one who studies Torah learning, so a certain sense of grace, refinement or pleasure is cast over the student of Torah. Dodeo Yiravucha B'chol Eis. This, as we said, is a continuation of the Pasuk in Mishlei Hey. So, Loma Nimshala Divrei Torah Kedod. Why is Torah compared to the woman's breast? Ma Dod Zeh Kol Zman She'atidik Mashmesh Bo Moitzi B'cholov. With regard to the nursing mother, whenever the child suckles from its mother, it will find milk. Af Divrei Torah Kol Zman She'olam Nohigi Bohen Moitzi Ben Tam. So too, as long as a person is hogeh, means to study Divrei Torah, he will find Tam. Tam, literally a good taste. He'll find something novel in his Torah. The Pasuk says, and as we pointed out before, this is a continuation of the Pasuk that we noted on the side. Bavoso Tishke Tomid. The literal translation has to do with someone being infatuated with his love of Torah. So, Kigon Rebbe Elazar Ben Pedos. Similar to Rebbe Elazar. Amru Alav Al Rebbe Elazar. It was said about him, Shoye Yosef Vosek B'Torah B'Shuk HaTachtan Shel Tzipori. He was sitting and studying Torah in the lower marketplace of Tzipori. Tzipori was a city built on a mountain, so it had a lower part, the lower city, as opposed to the upper city. So when he was studying in the lower part of Tzipori, V'Sadino Mutal B'Shuk HaElyon Shel Tzipori. And his Sadino is an article of clothing. It was located in the upper part of Tzipori, the Shuk HaElyon, the upper marketplace. What the Gemara seems to be saying is that because he was so engaged, so immersed in his Torah learning, he lost awareness of that which was going around about him, even regarding his own clothing. Omer of Yitzhak ben Elozer, Pam achas bo odom litlo umotza bo sorof. We mentioned that Rav Elozer's garment was in the upper market of Tzipori at the same time that he, Rav Elozer, was far away from it. He was on the lower market, a different part of town, if you will. So Rav Yitzhak tells us there was once an incident, someone came to take his garment, Rav Yossi's garment, and he found a snake. In other words, the Kodesh Baruch Hu prepared a guard for Rabbi Elozer's clothing, all in view of the fact that Rabbi Elozer was so immersed in his Torah study. Tana Debe Rav Onan. We have a Tanaic source from the yeshiva of Rabbi Onan. Ma'idachtiv rochvei asonos choros yoshvei al midin vochei al derech sihu. The source breaks down this pasuk. Rochvei asonos elu tamidei chachamim shemalchem mi'ir le'ir medina medina lilmod Torah. These are people that ride asonos, type of animal, mule. So the pasuk is referring to tamidei chachamim that travel from city to city and from region to region to study Torah. The pasuk says schoros shosin osa kitzorayim. They make the Torah light, like noontime. In other words, they expound and explain their Torah learning till the point that it becomes very clear. Yoshvei al midin shedonin din emes lamito. The Talmid Chachamim referred to in the pasuk are those that are also capable in sitting and judging a truthful type of justice. V'holchei, that was also in the pasuk, elu balei mikra. That's a reference to people that are engaged in the study of Torah Shebiksav. Al derech elu balei mishnah, sichu elu balei talmud. Shekol sichos on divrei Torah. The balei talmud, the people that are engaged in actual Gemara study, are referred to by the term sichu in this pasuk. That those kind of people, all of their speech revolves around divrei Torah. Omer of Shizvi, Rishum Rav Elozer ben Azariah, Mai Dichtiv, Lo Yachruch Remoya Tzedol. So there are a couple of approaches to this. Before we continue in the Gemara, we should note that the topic at hand is Haderech Lachzor Alimud, the way to engage in review of one's Torah study. In looking at this pasuk, we are presented by the Gemara with a couple of different approaches. So the first approach is the word lo yachroich is a notrikon, which means an abbreviation, and it's to be understood lo yichye v'lo yarich yomim tzayid haramoy. The tzayid literally is a hunter. Ramoy is someone who is underhanded. However, Rashi explains Tzayin HaRamoy is Shemar BeBegir Sveinu Chozer La. This is someone who studies a lot of material and does not review it. So he accomplishes a great amount quantity-wise, but he doesn't review. So someone like that, the Pasuk is saying, will not live a long life. Rav Sheshes Omar, Rashi explains that what Rav Sheshes comes to say is that someone who studies a lot and doesn't review, he isn't a ramoy, he is a fool, he's a shoite. So what does the pasuk mean? So it's to be understood in a tone of wonderment. And Rashi, Rav Sheshes says, Tzayid haramai yachroch, which as the pasuk itself would be read, lo yichroch ramoy tzedo, would someone who is cunning in his ways of study, meaning he's scheming and cunning in a positive sense, that when he learns and reviews that which he has, every section of learning, he immediately reviews section by section, as opposed to learning large quantities and not reviewing along the way. So someone who does review section by section, he is like the cunning hunter, that yachroch literally is to singe something, and we'll see very shortly what we are referring to, but it's a positive idea about how to go about one's learning in a successful fashion. Ki osa ravdimi omar moshel letzayed. This posuk can be compared to a craftsman, a hunter, shitzod siporim, who catches birds. Im rishon rishon mishaber knof of mishtamer. If every bird that he catches one by one, he also breaks their wings so they won't flutter away. Mishtamer is they'll be guarded. He'll keep them. Im lav, if he doesn't do that, meaning if each bird that comes to him, he doesn't bother to take measures to preserve it, to keep it, so ein mishtamer, it won't last by him. We take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top, Rav Sheshes Omar. Rav Sheshes, in response to someone who just learns large quantities without reviewing, Ein Zeh Ramoy Elishoita. That's not a cunning individual, that is a fool. V'hakovetz al yad, hu haramoy. Kovetz al yad is a reference to someone who learns small amounts, small increments, and reviews. So he is the Ramai, the Orum Badovar, and is cunning. For who Yachroch Klomar? The word Yachroch of the Pasuk, it means to say Yiskayim Biyodo. It will last with him. Kitsaida Ramoy Shemeshaber Gof Rishon Rishon Kshu Lochto, like the smart or scheming or cunning hunter that breaks wing by wing as he catches the bird. Shelo Yivrach, so that it shall not flutter away. Chorech ofos vochlan, and then he was able to singe the birds and roast them and eat them. Ukrat mui matma. The posuk is read in a tone of wonderment. Lo yachroch means lo yitzlev yocha. Will he not be successful? Of course he'll be successful. So let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rava, Omar of Schura, Omar of Huna. My dichtiv hoin mehevel imat v'kovitz al yad yarbeh. What is meant by that? So im oisa odom toros chavilos chavilos mismait. If a person approaches his Torah study in bundles and bundles, which can be understood to mean he learns large quantities of Torah without reviewing them. Mismait means it will diminish. The im lav, if not, however, that way. However, if he learns, he gathers small amounts and reviews. Rashi says, explains that he learns a small amount and reviews it until he is solid with it, familiar with it, fluent in it, and only then goes on. So then, yarbeh, then he will amass and accumulate and be successful. Omar Rava, Yadi Rabbonon Laho Milso V'Avri Alo. Rava, in commenting on Rava was the one that just quoted this idea of learning small amounts and immediate or constant review of the small amounts. He says that Rabbonon are familiar with this and violate it. They don't follow that approach, but rather they actually learn large quantities and don't engage in the, we'll call it the ongoing review. They might review later on the large amounts that they've learned, but they don't practice this kovetz al yad yarbeh. And one ought to look in the Marsha commentary on Maseches Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes, where this Gemara appears as well, and you'll see what the approach of the Rabbanan was. And Rava is touting their non-adherence, so to speak, apparently presenting the alternative as a reasonable path. Omar Rav Nahri Yitzchok Ano Avidito V'Ikayim Biyodoi. Rashi says on Ano Avidito, he says, I followed this method of Kovetz Al Yad Yarbeh. I learned small quantities and did the constant review on the small quantities, and I was successful in it. The Torah, and I'm able to maintain my Torah learning. This issue that we've just covered is in fact something that is, we'll say, subject to two schools of thought, if you will, of how to go about one's Torah learning, and more specifically one's Gemara learning. Should one learn small amounts and engage in intense review, or should one pace himself in another way where he learns without an intent, he reviews, but not with not intensively, that is immediate intensive review, but rather amasses large quantities of his Torah, his Gemara learning before engaging in review, more cyclical type quantity review. Tanu Rabbanan. Before we continue in the Gemara, we should glance at the side where we have a nosei, our topic heading, Ketzad Seder Mishnah. What was the style or the order in which the Torah was given over? Hayros Torah Shebal Peh Misinai. How was the oral tradition given over? HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moish V'Achach L'Aaron U'Vonav V'Chulei. We'll see how the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave over the Torah to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he gave it over to Aaron and his sons, etc. So the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ketzad Seder Mishnah. Rashi says, Ketzad Limdoi Lomdu Yisrael Torah Shabbat, but how did the Jews learn the oral tradition? So the Gemara, the Brisa explains, Moshe Lomad Mipi Agvura. Moshe Rabbeinu learned from the Almighty. Nichnas Aaron v'shana lo Moshe Pirko. Then Aaron enters and Moshe teaches Aaron his Torah. Nistalek Aaron v'yoshav l'smol Moshe. Then Aaron got up and sat to the left of Moshe Rabbeinu. Nichnas bono v'shana lohen Moshe Pirkon. Then the sons of Aaron entered and Moshe taught them. Nistalku bonov. Then they got up, Elozer, Yoshav, Limin, Moshe, Visomer, Lismoil, Aaron. Elozer was the elder of the two remaining sons of Aaron, so Elozer sat to Moshe Rabbeinu's right, and Isomer to Aharon's left. Aaron had already been seated to the left of Moshe, so now Isomer's to the left of Aaron. Rav Yehuda Omer, Leolam, Aaron, Limin, Moshe, Chozer. That means that when Moshe Rabbeinu finished teaching the two sons of Aaron, up till at that point, Aaron had been on the left of Moshe. Well, Aaron gets up and sits to the right of Moshe, and then the sons assume their positions as we explained already, with Elazar being off to Aaron's right and Isamar to Moshe's left. Nifnasu Zekanim Vishono Lahen Moshe Pirkon. After Moshe was finished teaching the sons of Aaron, the elders of Israel entered and Moshe taught them. Nistalku Zekanim Nifnasu Kol Ha'om Vishono Lahen Moshe Pirkon. After the Zekanim, the rest of the people came to hear the Torah from Moshe. At this point, if you keep track of how many times the Torah was taught over, so Nimse'u Biad Aaron Arba'o. Aaron at this point had heard the Torah four times. He had heard it personally from Moshe, and then while Moshe was teaching Aaron's sons, that Aaron heard it a second time. During the Zekanim teaching, Aaron heard it a third time, and during the public teaching, Aaron heard it a fourth time. So at this point, it was in Aaron had heard it four times. Biad Bonav Shlosha. The sons of Aaron three times, Biad Eskenim Shnaim, Biad Kol Ha'om Echad. As we go on, the goal here is to bring everyone up to four times. So Nistalik Moshe then leaves, Vishono Lohen Aaron Pirkoi. Then Aaron teaches. So that's now another teaching. That and when Aaron teaches, at that point, Aaron teaches all of the people there. So at that point, that would be the fourth time for Aaron's sons, then the third time for the Zekanim, and the second time for the people. Nistalik Aaron Shanu Lohen Bonov Pirkon. Nistalku Bonov Shanu Lohen Zekanim Pirkon. Nimtza Biad Hakol Arbo'o. And at this point then, everyone will have heard the Torah, will have been taught the Torah four times. Mikan Omer Bolo Yazer, Chayvodim Lishnois L'Talmidoi Arba Pomim V'Kal V'Chomer. From this we can conclude that a teacher is expected to teach his student a minimum of four times, and this we can derive through Kal V'Chomer logic. Uma Aaron Shalomad Bipi Moshe U'Moshe Mipi HaGvura Kach. Mind you, Aaron, who heard Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu heard it from the Almighty, so that you, as far as like maximum success is concerned, besides Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron was at the top of the rung. He heard it from the one who heard it from the Almighty. And yet, we are concerned that the individual be taught four times. Aaron had to hear the teaching of the Torah to him. He had to hear it four times before he can claim he learned it. So mind you, that's the case with Aaron. Hedyot mipi hedyot al achas kama v'kama. A commoner hearing it from another commoner, all the more so. Rashi says, "Uma Aaron sheshama mimoshe v'chulei umistaya milsus kaim believe olahovin mayer," and because of this, that Aaron heard it from Moshe, heard it from the Almighty. You would imagine that there would be extra heavenly assistance in retaining and quick understanding. And afilu hachishama arba pomim. And even so, even though you have this divine element involved, but still you have to learn it four times, all the more so for a commoner. Rabbi Kiva Omer, minayin shechayev odom lishnois l'talmido ad shilamdan. From where do we know that a teacher has to instruct his student until the student absorbs it? Shinemar v'lamdo es b'nei Yisrael. From that word velamdo es b'nei Yisrael, we learn this point. Uminayin ad shetei sedura b'fihem, and from where do you know until it's fluent in their mouths? Shinemar simo b'fihem. Uminayim shechayav laharis loyponim, and from where do we know that when the Rebbe teaches, he has to teach the Torah giving reasons as best as he can, and not just say that's the way it is. In other words, this is the way I heard it, and take it, and that's it. But rather, a person is supposed to attempt to give reasons and explanations. Rashi says, "Laharos leponim lelamdoi loseis tam bedvarov," to teach and give a reason for what you're saying. Bechol asher yuchal, as much as you can. Velo yomar, and not say kach shemati. This is what I heard, and you figure out the reason on your own. That's not the way to do it. But rather, the teacher is expected to also give reasons and explanations as best as he can. And from where do we know this? Shenemar ve'eila mishpotim asher tosim lifnehem. Rashi points out the pasuk doesn't say asher telamdom, but rather tosim lifnehem, place in front of them. And this change in expression or unique expression communicates this idea to give reasons in order to make the Torah learning more understandable. The Gemara asks, we have a double underline to point out, as we under our Mivneh heading, Hatzos Chilufios L'Seder Mishnah. These are alternative suggestions for how to go about the giving over of the Torah. So the Gemara asks, V'ligmaru kulu mi-Moshe, why not have everyone learn four times from Moshe? In the transmission of the Torah, we saw only Aaron heard it from Moshe four times, but the rest of the people didn't. Answer: Kedei lachloi kovod Aaron uvonov v'kovod lezakenim. In order to bestow honor to Aaron, his sons, and the zakenim, that they should also be engaged in the transmission, the teaching over of the Torah. Question: V'neil Aaron v'nigmar mi-Moshe, v'leilu bonov v'ligmu me-Aaron. Why not have it as follows, that Aaron learns from Moshe, and then the sons of Aaron learn from Aaron. Let them learn from Aaron four times. V'lailu zekenev v'lufu mibonov, and then the zekenev shall come and learn from his sons. V'leizlu v'ligmurinu l'kuli Yisrael, and then the zekenev will go and teach it to the rest of Israel. In simple terms, why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to teach over to all of the different groupings that we mentioned? The Gemara answers, Kevon de Moshe mipi hagvura gomar mistaya milse. Since Moshe Rabbeinu had heard Torah from the Almighty, the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu is involved in teaching over to everybody, that will increase the divine assistance or success that people will meet up with, as opposed to not hearing it from Moshe directly. Omar Mar, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Le'olam Aron Limin Moshe Chozer. You'll notice we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above, and you'll see where this line is from. So we had said that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that Aaron would always be seated at the right of Moshe. In other words, after when Moshe was teaching, he first taught Aaron, and then when he was finished, so Aaron would sit to the left of Moshe. But when Moshe got finished teaching Aaron's sons, Aaron got up and sat, repositioned himself to the right of Moshe. Keman Azla Ha Desanya. The Gemara wants to know, the following Tanaic source is in accordance with whom? Shlosha Shoyu Malchim B'derech, Horav B'emtza, V'godol B'yemino, V'koton B'smolo. Three who are walking along on the road. And you have three people of each one of different caliber. So this source tells us that the greatest of the three shall be in the middle, and the second to his right, and the third to the greatest's left. So Lema Rabbi Yehuda Hiva Lo Rabbonan. It would seem that this is in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbonan, because as far as the Rabbonan were concerned, Aaron, after sitting down to the left of Moshe, Aaron remained to the left of Moshe. And in this source, we see that when there are several people there, the number two person shall be to the right of the greatest. And according to the Rabbanan, we see that Aaron was, we'll say, the number two in greatness, was seated to the left of Moshe. This source then, having the Godol Bimino, which we dot underlined, seems to be unlike the Rabbanan. The Gemara says, not so. Afilu Temo Rabbonan. This source with the three walking on the road can be in accordance with the Rabbonan also. If you have three people that start out together, so the number two person is to the right of the leading individual. However, in the case of Aaron and the teaching over the Torah, Gemara says, Mishum Tircha de Aaron, once Aaron sat to Moshe Rabbeinu's left, and he had to do that initially, because if there are only two people, so the greater, the second person, the lesser of the two, is to be to the left of the greater of the two. That has to be. So once Aaron sat to Moshe Rabbeinu's left, we didn't want to bother Aaron to get up to reposition himself, and only because of that, Aaron remained to Moshe Rabbeinu's left. But otherwise, if it weren't an issue of repositioning, so the number two person in a group of people is to be to the right of the leading individual. Rebbe Preda, here's a story that is rather well known, and in our Gemara it lasts a number of lines, and we have a long Maisa mark. You can see to the left of the Gemara text. Rebbe Preda havet le'ahu tamida, davetoni le'arba me'azimni. Rabbi Preda had a student that Rabbi Preda had to teach 400 times. Rashi says, "Dalad me'azimni kol pirka makami lidgmar." Every perek, every chapter that Rabbi Preda taught, he had to teach it over to this student 400 times before the student would understand, and for gomar, and then finally he would understand. Yuma chad, one day bayua lemilsa de mitzvah. There was a need for Rabbi Preda to go and perform some type of mitzvah. So it was the student knew that Rabbi Preda was summoned to perform some type of mitzvah, but beforehand, Tonale Velogomar, Rabbi Preda was taught this student, and he just wasn't understanding, wasn't absorbing. Omale ho idno maishno. So the Rabbi Preda asks, so what's today different? Whereas I'm doing the same approach as I've done every day, and every day you eventually absorb, today you're not getting it. Omale. So the Talmud answers, Midahi shaita d'omale lamar iko milso de mitzvah. From that moment that you were summoned to perform some mitzvah, a particular mitzvah, ashoy ledatoi, I lost concentration. V'chol shaito amino hashta koi mor, hashta koi mor, and I became preoccupied with the possibility that at any given moment you are going to get up. Omale, so Rabbi Preda said, hab daitoch v'asni lech, concentrate, and I will teach you. Hader tonale arba mea zimni achrini. He went ahead and taught him another 400 times. Nafka bas kola v'omale, a heavenly voice came out and asked, Nicholech delisvuloch arba mea shani, would you like to have an additional 400 years added to your life in payment, so to speak, or in exchange for having given of yourself as so much as you've done? Oi detizku at v'doroch la'alma da'asi, or that you and your generation shall all merit the world to come. All merit Oilam Haba. Omar, so Rabbi Preda answered, Denizku ano v'doroi la'amo dosi. I prefer choice bays, that I and my generation should merit being having a portion and enjoying the world to come. Omar lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Almighty said, Tenu lo zu v'zu. Give to him both extended life and the Olam Haba. Omar Rav Chista, Ein Torah Niknes Ela B'Simonim. Before we go further in the Gemara, we have on the side, under our topic heading, the following we've written, Asiya Simonim L'Kniyas HaTorah. This is the idea of making signs, or mnemonics, or memory devices, techniques for remembering Torah learning. So Rav Chisda says that Torah is acquired only if one makes simonim. Rashi says, simonim, simoni hashmua zu achar zu, v'simoni chachomim kederech shiesh ba'ashas. Different mnemonic devices that you find throughout the Shas that order, present an order to different teachings. Now, this idea of making simonim, we see from a couple of different sources, and that's what we have a double underline for on the side of the Gemara under our Mivneh heading. We feature the double underline, and we've written Sidra Shel Mekoros, a series of sources, Lasias Simonim, for this idea of making signs. So the Gemara continues, Shinemar, four lines from the bottom, Simo Befihem. We saw this pasuk quoted earlier. Al tikri sima, don't read the word as placing, elo simona, rather this idea of making signs or mnemonics. Shama Rav Tachlifa mima rava. Rav Tachlifa from Eretz Yisrael heard this, ozal omra kamed Rabbi Avo, and he told this over to Rabbi Avo. Omar atu mehasa mas nisu la. So Rav says, you learn it from there, from this drasha we just had, sima b'fiyem. Anan mehocha mas ninon la. We learn this idea from the following, from a different source. Atzivi loch tziyunim simi loch v'chulei. Asu tziyunim la Torah. Make signs for the Torah. Well, my mashma da tziyun mishna de simona hu. From where do you know that this word tziyun has to do with making a sign? Dichtiv, the pasuk says in a different context, v'ra etzem adam v'vona etzlo tziyun, that if you notice a bone of a deceased, then you're supposed to make a marker. A tziyun is a marker, so that a kohen or other people that have to maintain ritual purity don't encounter defilement. So the idea in our pasuk, the Rabbi Avol pasuk of Hatsivilach Tziunim, is to make signs for Torah study. Rabbi Elozer Omar Mehocha. Now you'll notice we have a a triangle around Rabbi Elazar. So on the side of the Gemara, we will see Shnei Deos Eich Lidrash HaPosuk Umoda Labina. So we're going to have a posuk that we're going to darshan now. There will be two approaches to it, and that's why we have a triangle. And the double underline is simply a continuation of sources for this idea of making signs. Now, so Rabbi Elazar says this idea of making simonim is from derived from the following. Emor l'chokhma chosiat Umoda Labina Tikra. And from this, he learns, Asei mudaim latorah. The word mudaim, you can see the shoresh, the root of that word has to do with da, dala, it was knowledge. So make mudaim, make points, or make devices in order for you to remember your Torah learning. We have here a bracketed phrase, only because that which appears at the top of Nun Hei Omen Aleph ties into the idea of making simonim, which we had just before. So, that having been said, we read the Gemara, Rova Omar, Asei Mo'adim L'Torah. The word that in the Pasuk of Moda Labina Tikra, instead of reading it as Mudoim L'Torah, but rather Mo'adim, the order of the letters makes a difference in how to understand the word. So that means, as Rashi says, "Kavu itim l'talmidechem shiedu eis lavo v'lishnos." You should have fixed times, set times for your students to come and learn from you. The Gemara continues at the top of Nun Hei Omen Aleph. V'hainu di'omar Rebbe Avdimi bar Abba bar Doisa. You'll see that we have the use of this diamond is explained under the Mivneh heading Sidra Shel Droshos Al HaPosuk Lo Bashamayim. So we have a couple of Droshos on the Posuk we're about to learn. But the Hainu Dichtiv expression at the top is a tie-in to that which we saw at the bottom of Nun Dalam Beis. So Rashi at the top says, V'hainu Domer of Avdimi Ha Diamora Ditzok Lichok Lahamit Simonim Laharim Tachbulos Kadesh Diskayim HaTorah Belom Deo. That which we've been teaching till now, that one has to make efforts and tricks and designs and techniques in order to maintain Torah learning, this is in line with the following teaching. So what is that? V'hainu Diomer of Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Dosa Mai Dichtiv. What is the meaning of the pasuk in Sefer Dvorim? Lo bashomayim hi v'lo me'ever layam hi. The reference to the Torah in this pasuk is that the Torah is not in the heavens and it's not overseas. Lo bashomayim hi. It's not. It means the pasuk goes on to say kikor v'lecha dover mod, that the Torah is really close. It's easily accessible. However, we see from the pasuk, when it says it's not in heavens, she'im b'shamayim hi atotzoch la'alos achareah. Because if it were in the heavens, you would be expected to exert extreme effort to go heavenwards and get the Torah from there. Ve'im me'ever la'yam hi atotzoch la'avor achareah. If it is overseas, so you have to make your efforts and go overseas to get it. The idea, very simply, is that just like we were saying, you have to extend yourself to do things in order to maintain Torah. Likewise, the Pasuk itself alludes to that if it were in heaven or if it were overseas, you'd have to go there to get it. Rava Omar, Lo Bashomayim Hi. Rava has a different approach. Means, Lo Timtza B'misha Magbiya Daito Ala Kashomayim. You won't find Torah in someone that is haughty, that is Magbiya Daito, that raises himself like the heavens. Nor will you find the Torah in people that literally widen themselves like the sea. But we've seen before this term of marchiv daito can also mean one who pampers himself, taking Torah learning in the easy or lazy fashion that will not lead to success. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lo Bashamayim Hi means Lo Timtza Begasei Ruach. This is very similar to that which Rava said. You won't find Torah amongst those of haughty or high spirit. V'lo Me'ever LeYam Hi. This is something different. This is Lo Timsa Lo B'Sacharonim V'Lo B'Tagorim. You won't find Torah greatness amongst merchants. In other words, people can, of course, can engage in business and commerce, but you won't find Torah greatness amongst people like that, because, of course, they're preoccupied with their pursuit of an income. And there's a difference between Sacharonim, or people that travel from city to city, and Tagorim are merchants that conduct their business within one locale. There is an interesting Gemara in Maseches Tainis that involved Ilfo and Rabbi Yochanan concerning the pursuit of a Parnosa and eventual greatness in Torah learning, but we won't expound on that at this point. Just let us remind you before we conclude that we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.